What's up, you beauties? Welcome to High and Wide Radio, episode 7 of season 5. My name is Jim Iacovone, and I'm joined by the one and only Jack Smith. If you're not listening live, please make sure to subscribe, follow, and listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Let's also shout out our affiliate site, fullpresscoverage.com. And while you're listening to the episode, check out our site, hwhockey.net, where you can now find the Pod Street Bully podcast and the Time My Skates podcast, as well as DG Bets. Drunk Gritty's putting out betting lines each and every day of the week. Make sure you go check them out. Maybe win a couple bucks. If you don't, make sure you tell DG. We have some merch. It's not up on the site, but we are selling. We're hard for torts tees. So if you want a shirt, send one of us a DM. Send the podcast Twitter account a DM. We'll send you a Venmo and we'll get you a shirt. I think we're doing $20, $25. I have to go back and look. But shirts for sale. We got merch for sale. We also have beanies for sale. Send us a link. Send us a message. We'll get you some merch. Anyway, Jack, the Flyers just continue to win. They have officially, they're officially 7-3-2 after last night's trouncing of the St. Louis Blues. And man, last night was fun to watch. They looked like a good hockey team last night, right?
It was fun to watch. It was good to be on that end of the beating. I think you had said during our live stream that if the Blues don't score in the first period, it's going to be awfully tough. And the Flyers had one of the best second periods we've seen in a long time, scoring three goals. The last one with, you know, only 3 seconds left, was probably my favorite. A really nice save from Lawton to keep the puck in the zone and immediately transversed into a tic-tac-toe goal. And I know the Owen Tippett crowd's getting louder and louder, and it's not a bad thing. I would like to see some things differently than what I saw, but a win's a win at the end of the day. And I don't know how you could look at this team and be upset unless you were hell bent on getting the first overall pick of the draft or something close to it. But what can I say? Tortorella, he knows how to win, man.
I mean, he's getting it done with this roster right now, and it's not pretty. No one's saying it's pretty. Last night was cool. Even Saturday, they won 2-1. They weren't tough to watch. I mean, it was a game. Sure, they gave up the first one. Claude Giroux scored his first game against the Flyers. I think it was like 3 minutes in. But they shut the door after that and came back to win 2-1. You know, there's a lot to be, I don't want to say excited about, but there are a lot of good things happening during the Flyers' 7-3-2 start. I was just looking up here. I wanted to get the lines from yesterday's game or some of the results here. So let's go back to yesterday. 3 stars, Felix Sandstrom. Noah Cates, goal and assist. Yeah, that one you were talking about. From Sanheim, Travis Konechny, another goal and an assist. I mean, it was just complete domination of the St. Louis Blues last night. I think they were out shooting them something like 19-10 after the first period. And the Blues have lost 7 in a row coming into last night. They've now lost 8 in a row. So they're going through it. But, I mean, we've joked around in the group chat. The Flyers are the team that everyone stops their losing streak against. Right. And that didn't happen last night. Right.
No, they, like you said, they held strong. There was a lot of times on the penalty kill I thought they were going to break. They had a little help from the post, but they only gave up one goal in the entire game. They scored 5. So, it's not like they even squeaked out of it or let the Blues get a point. No, they handed it to them. So, yeah. I mean, that is something we have not seen this team do. And usually we're used to the Arizona Coyotes, who are 0-10 coming into town and having to go to overtime to eventually lose. Like, that's the team that we used to be. And there's certain names who would be associated with that team that are no longer here. And maybe there was something to that. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so they beat a struggling team. A team that's not supposed to struggle, and Flyers took care of business, and they hopped into fourth place in the Metro. They leapfrogged the New York Rangers last night, who are 6-5-3. They now sit just 4 points out of first place from New Jersey, who the Flyers beat in game one, 2 points behind the Islanders and 1 point behind the Carolina Hurricanes, who the Flyers recently lost to in overtime, probably should have beat. So point is, and these teams have, I think, a couple games in, Flyers have a couple games in hand on some of these teams. So it's interesting, but, and you know, I'm not getting ahead of myself and talking, Flyers got a shot at the division. It's only, you know, we're not even a quarter of a way through the season yet. We're halfway through a quarter. But I just want to make a point to point out the positives along the way, right, Jack? Like there's 70 games left to be negative, and I don't want to say that we're waiting for the negative to happen, and it's almost inevitable, we think, right? Like, is that kind of how we feel? Like, things are going okay. Like, they're getting results right now, no matter how they're doing, and it's not very pretty. But we're all kind of have, like, that negative in the back of our mind, like, all right, the wheels are going to fall off at some point, right?
I mean, I don't know how you can't. Like, this is the team we came into the season – universally across the board, we were like, this team's not good enough. And we're still waiting for those wheels to fall off, because we know that teams, when they have a new coach beginning of the season, they like to overachieve, especially when you have some young guys secure their spots, not only where they're at in the lineup, but in the lineup itself, not being benched or God forbid sent down. So there's a lot at stake here for these guys. I think that's where you're seeing a lot of guys who are younger starting to produce. But also the guys in charge, the Hayes's, the Konechny's, like we already saw them get benched once. And then there's the old chip on the shoulder. Nobody thought they'd be worth a damn. So they're giving us everything they got. And you certainly could say that, Konechny and Hart and Provorov and guys of that nature. And they're just getting every line's contributing in a different game. Like you got McEwen scoring in a game. They end up winning that game 2-1. You know, last night, everybody was going off last night. Other games, you have your stars connecting, they'll get you two goals or whatnot. And, you know, or Hart shuts it down and gets 25 shots in the last 2 minutes of the game and they hold on to win. Like everything you need to do in a game where they normally would blow it or not have enough firepower, they've had just enough and they've gotten by. And that's why their record is what it is. And Trotz has been able to make sure that when they, Torts, when they get into these funks like they did against San Jose, like how they look pretty poor against Toronto, that their next game isn't so bad. And even in some of their losses, particularly Carolina and New York, they played those teams to the bitter end. And it's all you can ask for. These are two very good teams that have been the top of the division for a couple of years now, with New York still even on the rise. And to play them the way they did was like, yeah, you're not going to forget about us. And while I expected I don't want to say a strong or even decent month of October, I thought it'd be fair. They've obviously done better than that. November is a big test for this team, even in seasons where they have been good. And so far, so good. It's only 9 days in, and they're looking like they're looking pretty good, and they're playing some pretty solid teams, obviously not last night. Although, like you said, the Blues, they have the players on the team. They were fighting. I think there was two fights in the first period. That team was trying to get themselves going. Just not having a whole lot of puck luck. I mean, Sandstrom won the game, for God's sake. Kudos to him, first win. But we'll see how the rest of the month goes. Like, I'm not going to be a full-blown believer in any of this until, like, after Christmas. So, like, all this now is just – it's fun, but it's not sustainable. It's not believable. And I'm just going to see how far this coaching can get them before they start to fall off – before the lack of talent catches up to them.
Yeah, for sure. Long season. A good point there. So the Flyers ended October at 5-2-1, winning five of their first eight games. So far through four games in November, if I was to tell you that the first four games in November, the Flyers were going to be away at the Rangers, away at the Maple Leafs, away at Ottawa, and a big, you know, Saturday game against former, you know, longest tenured captain in Flyers history, Claude Giroux, and then they come home to play St. Louis. If I told you that was their first four games of November, what would you say the record might have been?
1-3, maybe 0-3-1.
Yeah, could have easily lost all four for sure. They're 2-1-1 with points in three of the first four games in November. And the only game they lost decidedly was the second game of a back-to-back. You know, the night after they play at New York, they go up to Toronto and lose 5-2. And that was their worst game so far this month. You know, I think as long as they limit the damage, that, you know, limit the bad games, they've only really had on the scoreboard two terrible games so far this year. I mean, the San Jose game, they were kind of listless, got shut out 3-0. Toronto, they put up a fight, but, you know, ultimately, when you're playing a team like that on the second night of a back-to-back, it's kind of like, okay, you know, You got a point last night. Just don't, you know, don't get blown out kind of thing. They regroup Saturday. Nice win against Ottawa. And that's like a, it's not a rivalry game, but it's a big game, you know, with Ottawa now. And they're going to play Ottawa again this weekend. It's another big game. Claude Giroux comes home. And then to beat a team like St. Louis, who did play Monday night, you know, the Flyers didn't cut them any slack. They didn't play down to their level. And they beat them 5-1. I think, you know, we should be looking at some positives here. There's a lot of people still, and I'm not trying to convince anybody, but there's a lot of people still, myself included, like I'm watching this season just to watch. I don't think I'm emotionally invested, but I want to also enjoy the positives. You know, I don't want to go through this being negative and miss out on all the chances to enjoy the season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does.
Yeah, so
and it's hard not to. Like, you know, when I look at them from the outside, like as a whole, I look at the whole season, roster, everything. I'd be honest, it is in their best interest to get a very high pick. It just, there's no arguing that. It just is. And they kept that pick for that reason instead of making this current roster that we're cheering for better. That's all fact. But when I watch individual games and individual efforts and I see them smiling, like Noah Cates, every time that guy scores, he makes me want to give him a hug. He's got a nice smile. And it's big. Oh my God, I did it. Like kind of smile, but he's always scored more than that. I just like when he scores. Yeah. And you want to see the development from an Allison and the Tippett, as we kind of discussed. D'Angelo is a guy they added. So you with the assets they gave up, the money they paid, Sandstrom, Hart, Ersson hopefully gets a shot in that. All those guys, I remember when they were all getting drafted, all were prospects. You know, goaltending was a joke here for years. And now to see Hart and Sandstrom as your 1-2 and Ersson's like your 3, and that doesn't even account for all the Russia crap. And it's just like, geez, I remember these guys were a fart in the wind, you know, maybe not Hart so much, but like, you know, now they're all here. Like, okay, well, at least that panned out. To see those guys, Konechny actually kind of step up where you don't have Giroux anymore. We don't have the Voracheks of the world anymore. Atkinson's out. Couturier's out. And just like at times put the team on his back when your second and third line are scoring to still get a goal, a pretty nice goal, mind you, to make sure, you know, put that game out of reach. Like that's how you beat teams down. I believe you said last night, yeah, put the, what'd you say? Stomp them out. He said, stomp them out. They're going to stomp them out. That's how you do that. You know, and that's how like good teams do that. So, and I think Tortorella's a guy who doesn't let them pull back on the throttle. Like they're going to keep playing. You don't take off because you got a 2-goal lead or whatnot. Like we need more. And that was an issue with the team had before. If they did have a lead, they'd squander it. Usually in the third period while they were on the power play. Like I haven't seen any of that crap so far this year. Those massive mistakes. Sure, there's the occasional individual mistake, but as a team, they haven't fallen to pieces. And that's the kind of stuff that needs to carry over into the next season and the season after that. And that's a culture thing for me. And that's what this season's all about. And the more of that I see with some prospect development, it's fantastic. If we can somehow just still get a top pick out of this, it'll be a perfect season.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, it sounds like you're saying, you know, even though the analytics aren't there, that this team is not necessarily regressing as some would try to paint it out to be. And, you know, we're going to get to that because that's one of our bigger topics of this show. I kind of want to paint over first some of the I want to give some accolades out before we get to the regression talk, because that's just going to be a thing. Owen Tippett was a topic of conversation last night. Before the game, he ended up recording a goal and an assist. Jack, if I was to tell you Owen Tippett had 3 goals for 5 points in his first 7 games, you would think what?
I would think he was overachieving a bit. I'd be happy. You know, the goal he scored, like his passing is better than I realized, which is not his game, but not what we come to expect of his game, what we were told when we acquired him in trade. All the talk about 30 goals and like this season seems awfully silly. And I see the goal he scored last night where I don't know what Grice was doing with that one. Looks like he had clearly made the save, flicks up in the air, trickles in. It's like, okay, if they're all like that, he's going to score 100 goals this year.
Yeah.
So he was like picking corners and whatnot. I mean, ultimately, they don't ask you how. They ask you how many. I get it. But if this guy's going to sustain an ability scoring throughout his career in the season, I would hope it'd be a little more tic-tac-toe or just flat-out ripping it by the goalie. But you take him however you can get him. And even if you get like an empty netter, it can give you confidence. So if he can get on a roll and find himself shooting instead of passing, or maybe not staying so far away from the net when he decides to shoot, like taking a risk and sneaking up there and letting one go, he could turn into something. He could really get going. I mean, I think he's got the second most goals on the power play if he's not tied. I think it's only like two, but still, like, you got to get the power play going. We've needed power play people. So yeah, we'll get him going, let him loose. So, you know, so I mean, I'm not jumping on the train where he's going to be this next hot goal scorer. It's three goals, for God's sake. But it's not. It's definitely not a bad thing to see. This is a prospect we got in the Drew deal. You definitely want to see him start to develop.
Yeah. I think 5 points in seven games is fine. I'm looking at his past numbers here. His career high in goals is seven back in 2021. And he's got three already. You know, and it took him 45 games to do. I don't want to say breakout year for Owen Tippett. I don't know what a breakout year looks like for Owen Tippett. If he puts up 40 points in 80 games, I'm happy with that. But he's got five in his first seven. I don't think he's going to be a point-per-game guy, at least not this year.
Well, he certainly gets some ice time. I mean, he's on the first line. Yeah. You know, first line, power play time. I'm sure he wasn't getting too much of that in Florida. No. And even though he's playing with better talent, he was much further down on the lineup. So that's got to attribute it a bit. But listen, the team has a winning record with him getting that kind of ice time and putting up those kind of points. So can't argue that either.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, if Owen Tippett can pan out, because we were disappointed, I think, last year when they got him. Didn't we want a defenseman, or we wanted somebody else?
Well, I didn't want to even trade to Florida. I wanted to trade to Colorado. Right. That's what the defenseman was. 2023 first, and a defensive prospect whose name, of course, escapes me, because once we get him, I no longer care. And then while we're negotiating with Florida, Florida traded their 2023 first for the defenseman from Montreal. So it was like, okay, well, so what the hell are we going to wind up with here? Yep. The only good thing from Tippett is he was a top 10 pick. I think he was 10th, 2017, Nolan Patrick draft. I think somebody in our chat pointed this out, explained to me how we drafted Morgan Frost and Nolan Patrick, but in our roster is, or no, I'm sorry, it was Rubstoff. It was Rubstoff and Nolan Patrick. But on the team right now is Tippett, and they had just picked up Kiefer Bellows, which are both first round picks from those drafts. Like, it's just, it is kind of funny how things work out like that. And yeah, I mean, if you're getting drafted that high, you got some talent. It's there. It's whether you can translate it to the NHL level. It's whether you can unlock it and be consistent with it. 5 points in seven games, that's three goals. But really, it's if there's any way, even if he gets cold for a little bit, picks it back up later in the season, because you don't expect him to score, you know, 50 goals, that would be something. That would be, to get that kind of scoring, even if it's only on a second line kind of level, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. It means in the long run, team still needs top-end talent, but that's all you could ask for that trade. When everybody got it, everybody was incredibly disappointed, because Florida's good at drafting and developing. Why are they getting rid of this guy? And yeah, why is his points total so low? Why are they for? And it's not like they made a good hockey trade. They were flat out getting Drew and letting him go. You know, we all knew he was going to Ottawa. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I want to point out, so in 2021, 2022, combined stats, Tippett had 10 goals and 21 points. So, you know, quarter of the way there in points, 10 goals. So he's got three this year. He's probably, I don't want to jinx anything. He's probably going to smash both of those. We'll see. But it's this, that's one of those things though, right? Because we had such low expectations for this season, that it's like, okay, sit back and okay, Owen Tippett's doing something. He's got 5 points in seven games. Okay. Travis Konecny leads the team in points. Carter Hart, a 0.946 save percentage. Like, there are things to be, I don't want to say optimistic, but there are things to be like, okay, like there are positive things happening here. Travis Konecny is a point per game player right now, Jack. 14 points in 12 games, 5 goals, 9 assists for Travis Konecny. Kevin Hayes, another point per game player. 10 assists, 12 points in 12 games. The guy, remember when we were all angry at Truck for making that trade? We were kind of talking about this last night too. Tony DeAngelo, 8 points in his first 12 games as a Flyer, 5 power play points.
You know what surprised me about DeAngelo is he had more ice time than Provorov.
Yeah, he's averaging that for the season.
I get it. He's on the power play. I get it. But Provorov is like, he had like 4 more minutes than the next closest guy in seasons past. So
yeah,
that was surprising to see. I mean, I guess they're not defending as much, particularly on the penalty kill, which has been better. As it was pointed out last night, they were tied for 8th. And considering, I don't believe they gave up. Was their goal against that? Was that on the power play? I don't think it was.
I don't believe it was, no.
Yeah, so I mean, that's been a huge issue with this team for years. So just another, again, I get it. I got to preface it again, Jim, 12 games. I get it, but still.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like positive stuff. It doesn't always have to be, it doesn't have to be negative. Cause you know what, if things were going south, would anybody be saying, oh, it's only 12 games that can turn it around?
Right.
No, they would say this is
what we're going for. Yeah.
They suck. This is what it's supposed to be. So it's like, I'm not going to sit here and wait for them to suck. I'm not going to sit here and wait for things to go wrong. I'm going to say, okay, 12 games, they're winning. Every time they play and win, it's like I'm pleasantly surprised. And if they lose, it's like, all right, tough game. You know, let's see how they come back. Let's see how they respond. Or who didn't do their job? Who didn't play the way that, you know, Torts is expecting them to play? And we'll get to some of those guys in a second. But I could keep going down this list for a little bit here. Joel Farabee, coming off major surgery over the summer. 7 points in his first 12 games. 3 goals, 4 assists. Looks pretty good. And this is all without Sean Couturier, Cam Atkinson. They were without Ristolainen for a bit. James Van Riemsdyk's now out of the lineup. Owen Tippett missed 5 games. Like, guys have been in and out of the lineup here. And the Flyers are 7-3-2. Like, I don't think we think about that enough, too. They're 7-3-2 without their number one center, arguably without their, you know, top line, second line winger in Atkinson, that major piece they traded Voracek for. And I don't even know if you want to count in Ryan Ellis anymore, but, you know, he was on the team. They're missing all these guys, and they're finding a way. You know, and Torts mentioned that. I think it was Torts in a news conference. The Flyers are finding ways to win. And we're going to talk about this more when we get to regression and analytics. So I don't want to kind of blow up that spot. But there are multiple ways to win. We talked about this on the live show last night, right, Jack? Like, there's not a set in stone way to win hockey games. If there was, everybody would be playing this style, right? And I get that that's the goal. The goal is to, you know, win and win a certain way by controlling the puck. Like we talked about this yesterday. If you're controlling the puck, the other team doesn't have it. If the other team doesn't have the puck, they can't score. So the longer you possess the puck, the more likely you are to win. Why? Because you're going to have more scoring opportunities, right? More scoring opportunities means more chances to put the puck in the other net. The way the Flyers are playing now, if you're just looking at their analytics and not the score, and, you know, disclaimer, the score is what the only thing that matters at the end of the game, you would say, okay, the Flyers are probably not doing so hot this year, but they're finding other ways to win. The analytic way to win games is not the only way to win games. And some people can't fathom that, right, Jack? It's blowing their mind. Like, they hate it. But they're missing the whole thing. The Flyers are winning. Just enjoy that. And if you can't enjoy that, at least let everyone else enjoy it, for God's sakes. You know?
Yeah, and there's always an excuse. I feel like you look at the results and they're there. They're 7-3-2 when they should be nowhere near that. You just discussed, we did all offseason, how bad they're going to be. And on top of that, they're without so many guys who were supposed to be at least NHL regulars. And they're still 7-3-2. And yeah, no team's perfect out there, but they're finding a way. They're winning. And the analytics are coming back that they're bad. And it's like, they're 7-3-2. Yeah, that's out of a possible 24 points, they have what, 16? Like, that's a win, especially in this division, especially with some of the teams they've played. Like, they already faced a couple of the Florida teams a couple of times. They played Carolina. They played Toronto. They played New York. I get the Blues are supposed to be better, but they played the Blues. Like, they played, it's not like they just trounced a bunch of easy teams. They were supposed to be one of the easy teams. And I to be told that they're regressing and that the analytics say they suck, I understand it's probably not sustainable, but it has nothing to do with analytics. That has to do with talent.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing to win is working. So I don't care what the analytics say. And Tortorella would probably, or we know he agrees with me. He has his own form of analytics and the eye test. And I don't just say that like he watches the game and he just, you know, does whatever. He watches tape. Like, he does all the extra homework and research. He just doesn't have a laptop telling him what it is. Like, he does the research and he finds deficiencies in their games and whatnot. And he works with that. And he coaches human beings, not robots. And that's part of it. And when this team starts to get down like they did last year, he's benched their asses. And before you know it, they came back and had a good game. Like, that's the kind of things you want to see. That's building a culture in the locker room. These computers can't build a culture in a locker room where you have all the talent in the world, like a guy like Voracek, who's incredibly talented and came to work every day like he was going golfing. It's been said. We know it. He showed up to have a good time. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. Whatever. It's just a business. These are their jobs. Like, that needs to go. And it's starting to show. There's accountability now. Like, that kind of stuff, a laptop can't tell you. And that's what this team needed the most. And that's why they're winning with significantly less talent.
Yeah. And that's the thing. A talented team will have good analytics. The Flyers have pieces, but they're not in the upper echelon of talent in the league. And we knew this. We know this. We know it. All offseason, we were begging, please, go get Gaudreau. Go get talent. You know, go do this. Go do that. I don't need, you know, somebody with their face in a calculator to tell me the Flyers aren't playing great hockey. I don't need that. It's apparent. We knew this going into the season. You know, so crunch whatever numbers you want to crunch. We know it already. You're not telling anybody anything new, right? But news flash. There are multiple ways to win a hockey game. That's what makes the sport beautiful, if you ask me. Like, imagine, Jack, imagine you're playing a game, right? And there's all different kinds of ways to win. And somebody comes out of nowhere and goes, oh, these you can't do. This is the only way you can win. It kind of, you know, if you have a certain number of pieces, it kind of screws you over. Because with the pieces you have, you can't win that way. Does that make sense?
Right.
You can't win the way that this person is telling you have to win because your pieces don't line up with that formula. Does that make sense? So if you're Tortorella, you look at your roster and you're like, okay, you know, we're not going to control the puck that much, but we can work on controlling it. We can work on getting better at that. Okay, we're not going to outshoot teams most nights, but we can work on that. Right. We're going to have to practice. We're going to have to, you know, build up. We're going to build a foundation. We're going to do all the fundamentals right with this club. And then as we progress, maybe we add talent. Maybe we just get better throughout the course of an 82-game year. Maybe our analytics become better. But for now, with these pieces, this is how we are going to have to try to win games. Because there are, like I said, there are multiple ways to win. The analytic way, control, you know, puck possession, get shots to goal, it's not the only way. And people like you and I realize this. And I don't think that you and I are, I mean, we are. Actually, we are two of the smartest people in this world. These analytic guys who are self-proclaimed smart, they can't wrap their head around that. They just can't. The analytic way, it's not the only way to win. You can be not great and find ways to win games. Find ways to win. That's what the Flyers are doing. Just appreciate it. You don't have to like it. Just appreciate it. Carter Hart, .946 save percentage. Appreciate that. I don't want to hear that it's not sustainable. No shit, right? Enjoy it. He's having an outstanding. We're watching him become a superstar right before our eyes. Enjoy that. Christ.
I honestly, that's a really good point. Like, if we're the little giants in this situation and you lose that game 99 out of 100, if the game that matters you win, That's all that matters. I don't care what the analytics say. Well, this guy needs to do this, and this needs to happen, and this can't happen. Well, what you're working with, you're going to have to figure something out.
Right.
Like, sorry. Like, it's the world don't work that way. You can't have the perfect position at every player at every position. It just doesn't happen. It's like getting a baseball lineup where every single – it's left, right, through your batting lineup. Yeah, that'd be nice. That's incredibly rare. You know, or maybe everybody can just be a switch hitter and they hit perfectly with power and contact from each side. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good luck finding that. You know, and you're saying with your pitching rotation, left, right, that'll confuse them in a three-game series. Like, yeah, good luck with that. Like, that's a computer versus reality. And in reality, you have to work with what you have and you work to your player's strengths. And if they're not good at something the computer tells them to do, well, then you're going to have to figure something else out because it's going to fail, and both the eye test and the analytics are going to say it failed. And we're all going to know why before it even took place. So that's when it comes down for me is record. Whatever buttons he's pushing the right ones. End of story. Is it not sustainable? Probably not. You know why? Because they fucking suck. We all know this. This is not a surprise. They don't have enough talent. But if they squeak out some wins and they build that locker room culture that they need, then this season is a success.
Yeah, and we've said it a lot. That's why we're watching. We're watching for the change, and we're seeing it. And if so, Torts, you know, I think we're seeing change already, and you agree too. But Tortorella, they're not where they need to be, and that's encouraging. Like, this isn't it. We're not even close yet. He said. You know, the team is not even close to where he needs them to be, where he wants them to be. And we should be excited when we hear that because they're 7-3-2 and they're not close, right? And, you know, the analytic people should be happy to hear that too because he wants them to play the way that they're complaining about, that they're not seeing. He wants them to – we all want to see that too. We want to see the Flyers dominate games, but reality is they just don't have the talent yet to do that. You know, before we get to more of the regression topic, I want to just kind of get on some quick hits here. We're about a half an hour in. So, real quick, congratulations to Felix Sandstrom. Cause I don't know if I think you mentioned it earlier, first career win in the NHL last night. He was 0-3 on the season. So good for him, getting that win. I think Carter Hart was supposed to start last night. Sandstrom started, Hart was sick. So, he's apparently back healthy, so he'll start tomorrow, Carter Hart, but congratulations to Felix Sandstrom. Okay, so Tortorella had a press conference today, and in the press conference, Travis Konecny came up, and Tortorella mentioned that if they were to decide on a leadership group today, Travis Konecny would be a part of it. Your thoughts so far on Travis Konecny, Jack? Have you seen him grow as a player and also I know it's kind of hard to tell just from watching games here, but are we seeing Travis Konecny kind of mature right before our eyes here?
Based on his play, I think so. He's really stepped up in a position where not only are the G's and Jake's out of here, but the Atkinsons and Couturiers are hurt. And he's really one of the last top offensive guys standing. And he stepped up. He leads the team in goals and points. Like, what more can you ask for? And he's been here. He's now one of the longer tenured athletes in Philly. So it makes perfect sense. And I haven't really seen him off of the ice. You don't hear too much about hockey players, thankfully, but I haven't heard any negativity. I haven't seen him and Tortorella outside of one benching. I haven't seen any issues with him. He'll still take his chances, but any issues with him throughout his game. And the stats are there, the record is there, and things seem to be going the right way. There's no reason to think not. Now, would I make him the captain? I don't know about that, but he's definitely somebody, whether he wears a letter or not, what he does and where he plays on this team, his voice is going to be heard and it's going to be respected at this point. I'm not saying he can walk up to a guy like Pronger or something and tell him what to do, but in this locker room with these players, yeah, they look up to Travis Konecny. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree. So I had a chance to ask TK, I don't know if it was before the season or just after the season had started, if it felt like there was somebody missing or maybe a hole in the leadership group. I forget how I phrased the question. But if they kind of noticed that Claude Giroux wasn't there anymore. And if it, you know, if it was known amongst the players that there was an opportunity for players to step up into that role, and, you know, without hesitation, he said, yeah, absolutely. We know there's opportunity for us, for guys to step up as leaders. And I was kind of surprised by the answer, because I just didn't really expect Konechny to answer that way. But I think he's kind of taken this bull by the horns. And I agree, not that he's going to be a captain, but he's kind of taking on personal responsibility or accountability. I think he's 25, 26, TK. I can check here real quick. But yeah, he's 25. So this is right around the age where you want guys to start growing up, in my opinion. 24, 23, you're still a kid. 25, 26 is when you should start wising up a little bit. And maybe that's what's happening here. You know, I was one of the harder critics of TK these last couple of years, ever since the bubble, really. And this is what we want. Is Travis Konechny a point per game player? I don't know. I think we're still only 12 games into a season, but I'm not going to sit here and say, no, he can't be. You know, let's see. This is the Travis Konechny we've wanted to see, right? I mean, what did he have? 70 points a couple years back? I'm sorry, 61 points in 66 games. So probably on pace for at least 70, 75 points.
And hopefully 30 goals that year too.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and poo-poo Konechny just to make myself look good or try to be right. Go out and keep doing what you're doing, TK. Put up a point per game. I'm rooting for that, right? I think there's too many of us out there that will be negative just to be right. Does that make sense, Jack?
Yeah, it's the easy way out. You know, the talent's not there. Wheels are probably going to fall off. If that happens, then he's not going to produce as much. There's going to be mistakes. It's going to be frustration. It's going to be easy to be like, oh, I told you so. It's like, we already know that. I mean, just put that away and just focus on the positive here. You know, when this team gets going again, whenever the hell that's going to be, like, we're actually considering going for it. He's going to be a huge piece. And he's going to, when he's playing, the contract's a bargain. I hate to say it. Said it when it was signed. This has potential to develop into a very good contract. And right now, he's producing. What more can you ask for? In the absence of many good players and leaders, he's producing and he's acting like a leader. And I mean, this leadership group, it's not just going to be the three guys that wear letters. It's going to be a full group. And he's a huge part of that with his tenure and his ability and, you know, his overall role. So I can't be upset with anything I've seen with him so far. It's all about sustainability. And when the going gets tough, it's about accountability. So far, so good.
I would agree for sure. 100%. So good stuff here from TK. And hey, sounds like Torts is a fan, which I was wrong. I was straight up wrong about that. I thought, you know, TK was going to be the doghouse guy, as I'm sure there were a lot of other people who thought the same thing, but Travis Konechny has pulled a complete 180, and he's one of Torts' guys right now, which is what we all want to hear, myself included, right? I'm not rude. I'm not going to sit here and root against the guy. I'm going to be happy for him. Let's go. Keep it up, TK. The Flyers are going to need him if they want to be successful. So good stuff there. What do we have next here? Oh, John Tortorella brought up the one and only Travis Sanheim today. So let me just bring up stats here for Sanheim, because offensively they're not very good. And Tortorella made a point to bring that up. So Travis Sanheim, 12 games played, 2 assists. That's it. Averaging over 20 minutes of ice time. No power play points, doesn't get power play time, which we can talk about that for a second. Tortorella wants to see more offense. The play he made last night, I think he set up Noah Cates, was it, Jack, on that goal? Tortorella said he wants to see more of that. He said that's why he was signed to the contract, because he's the puck-moving guy that can create offense. He didn't say this part. He said it sounded like, yeah, the same thing he said about Frost. You know, as Frost being a playmaking, play-driving, offensive player, he said, you know, I was told basically that, you know, Sanheim was signed because he's this puck-moving defenseman that puts up points, offensive guy. 2 points in 12 games for Travis Sanheim. You know, I think I don't think Travis Sanheim's ever going to be a 40, 50 point guy. He put up 31 points last year. I think that's probably where he tops out at between 30, 35 points. He scored 35 points in the second year. I mean, I guess if you're going by that, in his second year in the league, put up 35 points, and that's where he's kind of going to max out between 30 and 35. I could see why you'd be disappointed. But Sanheim's game, if he's not going to be getting power play time, that's at least 5 to 10 points there. He's not going to be scoring a season. So I don't think he's ever going to touch 40 points. Let's talk about Travis Sanheim a little bit, Jack. What do you think about Travis Sanheim so far?
I mean, so far this season, I'm not too impressed. I mean, all I keep picturing is Tavares walking him, and that's the kind of stuff that can't happen. But for as far as the points are concerned, he's going to need to see significantly more power play time and probably have a better defensive partner if he's really going to exceed that. I feel like he's got to be careful at times with Ristolainen. A lot of times Ristolainen has just been a lightning rod for Sanheim, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But if you're really going to exceed and really show your ability, you're going to really need somebody back there that really knows what they're doing to allow you to free up what you need to do. But he also just doesn't see the power play time like he should. Right now, the way he's playing, I'm not too impressed. He's done enough, but there's too many bad memories than there are good memories. Maybe I should say a couple bad minutes than there are good minutes with Sanheim at this time. It's close, but the bad always stick out more than the good. I was hoping after the extension to see more from him. He's been getting roasted pretty regularly for a while, even in some of their wins. But definitely after that Toronto game, my God.
Yeah, for sure. He's just kind of been out there for me. I don't have anything really negative to say. He's just kind of doing his job, I think, defensively. I mean, yeah, Tavares walked him. But I think we would expect more offense, or at least some people expect more offense. You know, he's an analytic guy. So you don't see him getting trashed on the Bird app as often as you would see a guy like Risto or whatever. Positionally, Sanheim's fine. But I think you sign those big contracts. You know, if you look at guys who do sign those big contracts, it's these offensive defenseman guys, or you're a lockdown D guy. And I'm not sure Travis Sanheim is a lockdown defensive guy, and I'm not sure that he's a guy that's going to put up 40, 50, 60 points a season. So
he's very two-way, and I would hope that both ways were pretty strong. I mean, they have been in the past. It's just this season that's this slow start-ish. It's not even that bad. Before what he signed for, it's kind of like, well, I would like him to be a little bit better in both ends. But again, 12 games, if we're going to be positive about guys and kind of temper our expectations, I'm going to go the same way with a proven guy. If he's off to not exactly the best start that I would have hoped, I've got to imagine he's going to figure it out.
Yeah. And I think that's perfectly fair. I think that's perfectly fair to be, you know, we don't have to sit here and be like, oh, this guy's going to have, you know, not everyone's going to have a breakout year, and not everyone sucks as much as they suck right now. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't have to be one end of the spectrum all the time. We do have the option to sit back and let's let things play out. They have nothing to lose this year because they certainly aren't going to win the cup. Like, how bad can they be? And even if they are dead last, it's like, okay, that's what we expected. Let's go get a top three pick. Let's get Fantilli or let's get Bedard. Right. Instead, all right, through 12 games of the season so far, I'm having fun watching the Flyers, you know, like they're winning games. So, yeah, but I agree. Like now's not the time to be so gung ho. This guy sucks and this guy's, you know, breakout year for Owen Tippett coming on deck, whatever. It's like, all right, let's see how things are through 20-25 games, you know, because right now we're only 12 in. It's still the beginning of the season. And speaking of that, because I just mentioned, let's not get on guys for having breakout years. Carter Hart. I'm going to do the complete opposite of what I just said, Jack, because it's true. I believe it. Carter Hart, breakout season this year, budding superstar before our eyes, 6-0-2, mentioned earlier, 0.946 save percentage. I think I saw 1.97 goals against average. The Flyers are yet to lose in regulation when Carter Hart starts. He will be starting tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who I think are 3-9, something like that.
Wow.
Are we watching? Bring me back down to earth. Or are you seeing kind of what I'm seeing here? Is Carter Hart budding into a star right before our eyes, Jack? Like kind of like Jake Ottinger was in the playoffs last year. Because, like, tell me if I'm wrong. You can see when a guy is breaking out. You can see when a guy has figured it out. And last year in the playoffs for me, Jake Ottinger against the Flames, you can see, oh, my God, next year, watch out. This guy's going to be a top five goalie in the league. And this year he is, Ottinger. I think we're watching that right now with Carter Hart. The difference is it's not the playoffs, you know. He's carrying this team on his back in a lot of ways. Are we watching Carter Hart turn into a star right now, Jack?
I mean, Carter Hart is already a star, Jimmy. He's always been a star, and I have been defending his ass at every turn for some odd reason. But, yes, I do think that he's really showing it. Like, I feel like this season with a few guys, like, they're just like, well, there's no expectations, so screw it. Like, I'm not holding the stick too tight. I'm not, you know, worried about every little thing. I feel like in years past, which is funny because Carter Hart was coming up, he didn't have this issue, but the short-term memory thing is working in his favor, where before he'd give up a goal and it would happen in bunches. And it had an opportunity to happen this year because he was a little rusty and leaky from not playing too much preseason, but he's bouncing back from giving up a goal really strong. And you could argue some of the goals that were scored against him, and it weren't many, were totally not his fault. He was screened, or he was a tough pass or backdoored or whatnot. And you're seeing less and less of this. I need a couple of shutouts before I'm like, okay, he's arrived. But with this defense, it's going to be a little tough. This team is not, at least on paper, very good. But if they keep out working teams and Hart can do what he does, and he was the guy last year who fell off last, where everybody started falling off as we got out through October, got into November, and eventually December. Hart lasted the longest before he started like just going back to giving up big leads and losing games 5-1 and getting pulled and all that. Like he hung on the longest. So as long as they can have a somewhat of a adequate team in front of them with an adequate defense who does what they're supposed to do, their expected goals, it's basically called heaven, that spot right in the front where between the hash marks and the whatnot. Like, there's way too many shots being taken place in heaven for these other teams, but Hart's, to his credit, his save percentage in that heaven area is its most expected goals or something like that based on where they're shooting from. Like, it's very high. Like, he is really shutting them down. He's making big time saves. He's keeping 2-1 games 2-1 through entire periods, and then the barrage at the end of the game where normally something would squeak through, he's shutting it down. He really is. And they didn't do him any helps that other game the other night. Like, they could not clear the puck at all. His entire 2 minutes were in our zone, and he was getting peppered, absolutely peppered. And I haven't seen that Hart before. Maybe occasionally here or there, but like, for him to be consistently this good, 6-0-2, those two losses coming against very good teams. He did everything he was supposed to do. That Rangers game, he had a shutout going into overtime. Like, come on, you know. And I have not seen him get started off to a season this well. And you look at the talent on the team, and it's not there. So yeah, I definitely see the superstar. I hope he keeps continuing to get better and doesn't, you know, kind of taper off, but there's no reason to think that's going to happen. And I fully expect him then to be up to task against Columbus.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he could have had two shutouts, didn't? Who did they play where they were up like 2-3 late? Was it Nashville? And I think Duchesne ended up scoring late. He could have two shutouts already this year. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any. But yeah, I firmly believe, and sure, he might not finish with a 0.946 save percentage, but I'm not sure how much lower that's going to come down. Like, we've seen goalies have Shesterkin last year, right? Had a really good save percentage, and New York sucked. Like, New York did suck, but Shesterkin carried that team. They had obviously more skill than the Flyers, but they were not good defensively. Without Shesterkin, the Rangers weren't very good. And I think I was trying to make a case for that last year, and he carried them all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, so we didn't get to see it. But who's to say that what Carter Hart's doing is not going to last? Like, I don't want people to take that literal, because the first thing everyone's going to say is, oh, you're saying he can put up a 950 save percentage for an entire season? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the way he's playing. Like, this is what I'm saying. Why do we need to jump on Twitter the first thing after he has a great game? And the first thing that we can think about saying is not sustainable. Why are we like that? Like, why can't we just get on Twitter and be like, Jesus, Carter Hart just had 47 saves and the Flyers won 4-3 against the Florida Panthers. Holy shit. Right? Instead, it's like, man, they keep playing like this. It's not going to be sustainable. It doesn't make sense. Right?
We're because jaded. We're jaded. Man. Totally jaded. It doesn't
make sense. It's like we finally have a goalie that literally is winning us games on his own. And the first thing that we can think to say is, man, this formula for success, not sustainable, right? Like, were the Rangers doing that with Lundqvist? Were the Devils doing that with Brodeur, right? Why are we doing that?
We're just not allowed to have nice things, Jim. Something always goes wrong. We get Ryan Ellis, plays four games, never plays again. Couturier signs the contract, never plays again. I mean, anything that, you know, Niskanen retires. Like, anytime we have anything going good for us, something bad has to happen.
True.
So obviously, goaltending, which hasn't been good for us since Bertie Perron, Lindbergh, you know, I mean, yeah, we're not allowed to have nice things, is the only way I can think of it. It's very easy to, like, come into how many seasons we've come into and be like, we're going to make the playoffs and we're gonna be a tough out. We're going to really give it a go. We got a shot. And we completely shit the bed. We're getting blown out in games and all that. It's very easy to be jaded. So we got this new, it's like a new team. It's a new dawn, you know, and it's a little dark before the dawn, and it could be a little, we expect this season to be dark, and it still could be, but to see certain players develop and bloom before our eyes would be, you know, it's what happens with young talent. Eventually, at some point, they got to step up. Eventually, the guys ahead of them aren't there anymore, and they step into these roles, and they flourish. And that's how you – now, I'm not saying any of them are going to be the next McDavid or anything, and we still have issues. But for them to – and I do think there is something to it with the no expectations. You just go out there and play your game. You have nothing to worry about. You give up a goal, it's almost expected. So you're just like, whatever. I give up a goal. I go back to playing. Where before it was like, we're supposed to win the division or come in second and give it a push, and you give up a goal and then you're losing 2-0 to a team you should have be killing, and then it gets in your own head and whatnot. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I don't think it's sustainable, but we don't need to mention it every time they have a good game. Like, let's give credit where credit is due. I think they got the right coach at the right time right now. I just don't know how long it's going to last. It's still a new coach and a new team. Everybody's trying to make a good first impression that will have to run out eventually. So that's where I sit with the whole it's not sustainable thing. But as far as individual efforts go, I can't say anything negative about it. He did exactly what you wanted and needed him to do in the situation, and that's that.
Yeah, and let's just enjoy it. And I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just talking about in general. Like, because, I mean, you're on Twitter too. You log on and it's just like, oh my God, like, they're 7-3-2. What are we being negative about? Or why is this moron bringing up the end of last season's analytics and comparing them to the first 10 games of this year's analytics, right, Jack? Like, so I'm not going to name this person, and I'm not going to name, you know, the platform that he comes from, because I don't particularly like the platform. This guy, I don't know what his point was supposed to be, and we're going to get to it, but his argument was there should be no analytical regression. They hired a new coach, so everything is supposed to pick up where it left off last year and continue going up. That's not how things work, number one. Number two, what is the point of going up and digging up the last 10, 15 games, the analytics of the last 10, 15 games, and comparing them to the first 10 games of this year's analytics? What is the point of that? Ultimately, the point was to make John Tortorella look like a bad coach. On the counter side of that is, you're telling me that Mike Yeo is a better coach than John Tortorella? Like, I don't think he completely thought this whole thing through here. Just because you can go and look up a bunch of numbers and do all this research and, you know, throw them up on Twitter and tweet it and, you know, make yourself look all kinds of smart and this and that. It doesn't mean that your point, your initial point is stupid. The whole point was idiotic, right? Like,
I don't understand why. Like, why now? You know, when the team has this good record, when we should have been, like, in a lot of people's opinions, you know, 2-13 and, well, oh, or whatever, really bad. And they're playing really well, and individual players are playing really well, especially Hart, especially Konechny, Tippett to a degree. Hayes has a lot of assists. Like, I didn't realize it was that many. Like, I'm happy with that. Obviously, there could be improvement, but the penalty kill looks better. Power play looks a little bit better. You know, you did not replace Claude Giroux's production. Whether you take away the locker room side, that guy was very, very good statistically, and obviously he was a talent, and it was just ignored. It was not replaced at all. You know, you brought back Braun out of Deloria. You even moved on from Lindblom to make that happen. You added to your back end. You didn't even really give yourself a backup goalie, for God's sake. And you just went with what you had, what kids you had, and with a mixture of some of the veterans. You shored some things up, and you just rolled with it. New coach, new everything. You're 12 games in, which is nothing. And at the time of the article, it might have only been 10. And you're going to compare directly like apples and apples. It's not, it's apples and oranges. It's completely different. And why don't you compare the records at that time as well? You know, it just take Yo's tenure. Don't even take their record at the time. Yo's tenure. Wasn't he 0-10? Like, come on. Like, I don't really care what the analytics say if the team's winning. Like, it's the timing of it is baffling. The overall point of it is silly. And it just makes you scratch your head and be like, why do you want attention for this now? And that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, we were critical for months, Jim, like 9 months, if not longer. And when we can look and realize when they're winning, they're winning. W is a W, end of story. And we can sit here and go, wow, we like what we've seen. And I can sit here knowing that I want them to full-blown rebuild and try for a top pick, knowing how important that top pick is. I can still enjoy the fact that they're winning. So I don't understand where they're coming from with that. I don't understand why now was the time, why analytics is a direct comparison. That just seems silly to me when you look at the record and you're coaching people, you know, new people at that, new system. It's almost irresponsible in a way to some of the followers. Hopefully they can pick up on some of that stuff themselves and just say, yeah, this is it's just too out of context for me to take seriously.
Yeah. You know how I am. When something kind of irks me, I have a hard time holding back. And luckily, I was golfing that day, so I was distracted and off Twitter.
Happy Gilmore and everything.
Yeah, but I was like, what the hell? What the hell is this? What is the point?
We just talked about the team to this point. You know, their record, Tippett, Konechny, all those players. Hart, where do you see regression? Like, take analytics away. Just from what you've seen with the record, who's doing what, you see regression in that? What? I see teams that don't get blown out, who come back. How about the Vancouver game? They go down 2-0 in that game. Any other last two seasons that they lose that game? They came back, didn't give up another goal, and won that game in regulation 3-2. That team hasn't done that in years. They don't do that. They get down, they're done. You know, teams come back on them. They battle through and win the game. They win that 2-1 game with that barrage they face at the end of the game. That this team of the past does not do that. That's progression, if you ask me. It is progression. Where is the regression? Where have they done something worse than they've done in previous years? Power play is better. Penalty kill is certainly better. I don't understand. Where is the word regression in this team, what you see now? I see nothing.
Yeah, I would agree. And those were all great points. Yeah. When you put it that way, it's like, who gives a shit about your analytics? Everything's better. The analytics will catch up.
Well, at what point? Yeah, that's good. Or that. I was going to say, at what point is the results wrong? Or are the numbers you're using to get your ultimate analytic point across wrong? Because nobody gives a shit with the analytics say if the team has a winning record. Now, you're right. They probably will just catch up, but that's all the more reason why I would take a larger sample size, especially considering it's a brand new coach, brand new, well, not brand new team, but a lot of new pieces to this team. and it's only 12 games. Like, come on. Like, this is – you're missing half the lineup anyway. There's no JVR, Atkinson, Couturier. Like, come on, man. Like, there's too many things in gathering this information at the time and when and the timing of it. This just don't make any sense.
No. It's like, why do you want to focus on the negatives too? Why? You have an opportunity to be positive. Why would you go back and dig up numbers from last year? Last year was a total shit show. Like, I don't want to compare anything to what was happening last year. And it doesn't make sense because a couple people wanted to say this, that, oh, well, nothing should be as bad as things were last year, even analytics. Well, so John Tortorella is just supposed to pick up where things were left off last year? No. He completely broke everything down and is starting from scratch. He's building from the bottom up.
It's going to take time.
He's making this his own thing.
It's a culture thing too. There's a lot of off the ice things. He's going to sacrifice games like the San Jose game to make a point. That's why Konechny and Hayes were benched. You're gonna make a point. You're gonna sacrifice games. That's not going to make the analytics look too well. But in the long run, it was the right move. Nobody's untouchable. You don't play my way. You don't play the right way. You don't play. And I'd rather see that than some heat maps of shooting percentage should have been over here instead of over there. Like, it really is silly because analytics, it's these kind of articles that give analytics a bad name to those who don't like them. Because I don't think analytics are a bad thing. Sure, I can come on and bash them and whatnot, but it's only in response to this kind of talk, regression. Like, that's where you go. If I'm an analytic guy and I have my own analytics and I read that and I go, yeah, that probably wasn't the best time to release that. I feel like I'll be having to defend analytics in the very short future. And it's annoying. It's an eye roll. I did the same thing with the eye test. If somebody says they saw something good and you look at it, like, no, that was wrong. That was not good at all. And it's, you feel kind of silly. And it's a shame. I feel like with all the positivity, what's going to stick out is that negativity, that those few people who are still like, oh, by the way, this isn't sustainable. Oh, by the way, they're all analytically regressing. Like, that's going to stick out. People are, whether they agree or annoyed or what, they're going to see it. And I feel like that's what this timing was about. It's the only thing that makes any logical sense to me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that kind of irked me or rubbed me the wrong way. We always say development. What do you say? You say development or?
Development trajectory. Or I'm sorry, development and.
It's not always linear. It's not a
straight line. The trajectory of development is not always a straight line.
Right. Sometimes you gotta get worse before you get better. And
these players a lot of coaches.
Just so happens while the Flyers are getting worse, and I'm doing the air quotes because they're winning games. And they look a lot better than they do last year. Just so happens while the Flyers are supposedly playing worse than they were under Mike Yeo, they're 7-3-2 with some big wins under their belts. They took teams like Carolina and New York to overtime. Big win against St. Louis last night. They went up to Ottawa and beat the Senators. A lot of positives. Too many positives for me to be negative and stuck on last year's analytics. Give me a goddamn break with that.
Put it this way, they played 12 games, right? In my opinion, they looked bad in three of those games, and they were all regulation losses. Yeah. They didn't look good against Toronto. They didn't look good against San Jose, and they didn't look good against Florida. They took Carolina and New York to overtime and two very good games. Yeah, sure, the offense could have been going, especially in that New York game, sure. But that's not the style of game that was being played that night. Otherwise, New York would have won 5-0, They did what they had to do. They got a point. And all the other games, all seven of them, whether you thought they were perfect or not, they were wins. And that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Right. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If the Flyers were to win the Stanley Cup, would we go back and look at the analytics, or would we just look at the score?
Listen, if you play 12 games, if 1/4 of those games are bad games, but the other three-fourths are good games, stretch that out over a season, you're going to be pretty close to first place because no team's going to be perfect every game. So they looked 75% of the time like a pretty good team.
Yeah.
At least when it comes down to results.
For sure. For sure. Hey, they got another big game Thursday night against Columbus. They got two home games this weekend, both at 1 o'clock, I believe, on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, Giroux comes back to Philadelphia. Sunday, they play the Dallas Stars. We could be looking at a couple more wins. I believe they have Columbus after this weekend. So the next four games, bookended by Columbus with Ottawa and Dallas sandwiched in between. They could very well win three of the next four games and be 10-4-2 by this time next week. So, yeah, what are we going to say then? Oh, the analytics still suck. The Flyers are 10-4-2, you know, 22 points and top three in the Metro. I don't know. I just don't have it in me to focus on that kind of stuff yet. It'll come. This is – even though they're 7-3-2, and let's say they're 10-4-2 next week, Jack, even though their record looks good, I'm still watching for the process to see if, you know, who's buying in, who's not. Nothing changes. None of that changes. You know, looking ahead to next year, none of that changes. It just so happens that they're getting a result, a positive result through the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm perfectly fine with that. So I don't have time to you know, spend time on the negative analytics and whatnot. All that stuff will come. All the good stuff is going to come. So stop waiting for the negative. I think I said it on last week's 25-minute show or whatever. Stop waiting for the negative to happen. Enjoy the positive things that are happening now. So with that, Jack, is there anything else that we didn't get to today before we wrap up?
The only other thing I'll say is just more to Tortorella's credit. I really like what he had to say about Ristolainen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nothing in his game or everything in his game needs work. Yep, couldn't agree more. If you can fix Ristolainen, and I said this last night, you'll never have to buy a drink Philly again, baby. Turn him into a massive positive, not just with his body, with his actual play. Woo, look out.
Yeah, him and Taron Hatcher, huh?
No comment.
Yeah, we're going to end the show on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed this week's show. We'll be back next week. Thanks for hanging out with us. As always, next time you catch us, we'll probably be live. We'll be next week, maybe Saturday or you know, if Tuesday works again. We'll see. Still working out some kinks. We got a lot of stuff going on in our lives at the moment. So for the meantime, everyone, make sure you're drinking your green stuff, taking your vitamins, and everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you later.